And we're going to start the service right now together by singing a hymn that should be pretty well known by everyone here, but there's a hymn book right there in front of you. Hymn 404, Amazing Grace. And we're not going to have anybody stand or anything, but we're just going to sing out from our hearts this song, Hymn 404, Amazing Grace. And so let's go ahead and let's sing this together as we start this memorial service on that first.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
Gonna sing all four verses on that second.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believe. Through many dangers, toils, His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Now we're going to emphasize this last verse, and we're going to sing forevermore. Here we go.
When we've been there forevermore, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun.
Thank you so much for helping us open up this service of remembering the life and testimony of a man that knew Christ as his Savior. At this time, we're going to have a special that I know will be a blessing to you.
Showed me that I could be free. Kind of a different time for me because I'm part of the family. Now, I've been engrafted in, but that's okay because I was engrafted into God's family too, so that's quite all right. But it's a joy and a privilege to take a little time to talk about my friend, Gary Hodwalker. Gary died just a few days ago at age 73. He was born October 22nd, 1948. He died January 23rd, 2022. He's survived by quite a few people. I've got a list here that's going to take up all my time. His wife, Sandra Hodwalker. Son, Scotty Hodwalker. Son, Dennis Hodwalker. A daughter, Winnie Boyer. A daughter, Wilma Heimberger, a husband, Tom, a daughter, Holly Hodwalker, a daughter, Sandy Schmidt, Butch is her husband, I know him well, a daughter, Tina Smith, Chris' husband, daughter, Connie Kaiser, husband, Mike, brother, Francis Hodwalker, brother, Richard Hodwalker, sister, Wilma Turner, sister, Mina Fox, sister Ada Hodwalker, sister Flossie Hodwalker, sister-in-law Shirley Malloy, grandchildren, here we go, 11, Wendy, Daniel, Vaughn, Brent, Ayla, Cole, that's all they got on that part, grandchildren, oh no, here's some more, Heather, Anna, Will, and James, great-grandchildren, 3, Logan, Aaron, and Case, what a great family. What a great, great family. Well, the list says that I'm to do the eulogy. But Gary was my friend. I was his pastor for 13 years. And we had some very special times together, and I'm going to share a few of them. I told Sandy I'd stay away from most of the funny ones, but we'll have one or two. But I want to read, I found a scripture that I just thought about, Gary, and I want to read this before I do anything else. In the book of Job, Job says this, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead into rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms... So after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Now that's a great, great statement, and that is the truth. You see, Gary left this world a few days ago, and he got to see Jesus. He left this world and got to be in the very presence of the Savior of mankind. There was a smile on his face and joy in his heart. I've been preaching for 53 years, and something's bothered me all 53 years. I just wish I knew how much a person in heaven gets to see. I wonder if they get to see the time that we either rejoice in the death of a saint or act like a bunch of idiots and cry over somebody for no reason. I wonder if they get to see that. I don't know. I'll find out one day. It's just something that's rather interesting to think. But I got to thinking about Gary. He joined Fairview Baptist Church in 1991. Or no, he came in 1991, joined, I think, in 1992. So I was his pastor for 13 years and did some very special things with Gary over the years. One of the things that we did, every Sunday morning, Gary would show up at 7:30 in the morning for church. Sandy would drop him off and go home and think, what is wrong with this man? And him and me and a fellow by the name of Jim Sparks and a fellow by the name of O'Neill Proctor would have coffee together and pray together until time for Sunday school every day for 13 years. You get to know somebody very special when you have things like that. And then, of course, one of his daughters married one of my sons, and we got to know him better in that way. And it was just a very, very special time. I also got to take Gary to Mexico with me on mission trips three or four times. I don't know how many times. And I can remember times walking down the streets in Mexico with Gary. We'd have our pockets full of candy and our hands with tracts, and the little Mexican boys and girls would come out, and we'd hand them a piece of candy and give them a tract. And I remember there was one time, different times when we'd get some of them to come into church, and we would sit down on the hard benches on those churches down in Mexico and preaching, and there'd be a little Mexican kid on each side of Gary sitting there listening to the gospel being preached. That's special. Those are special times that you cannot get away from. One thing I found about Gary, and you all know this very well, he had a heart of gold. How many of y'all have ever heard to say, oh, that man would give you the shirt off his back? Gary would. Gary Lilly would give his shirt off his back. I got to thinking about a little story. This is the funny one now. It just happened just a few months ago, Sandy. I went over to Sam's Club, and I found some lights for the walkway, made out of glass, really good at a reasonable price. And I bought five, and I come home and told Gary and Sandy about it, and he said, well, next time you're over there, buy me some. So I went over and bought him five of them and brought them back, and he put them out, and they didn't work. And Sandy didn't say this, but I think he said, what did Brother Schmidt do for me? He forgot to pull a little plug out. You know, they don't work till you pull that plug out. Well, he pulled the plug out afterwards, found out about that. But that's just only part of the story. So he told me, I want five more. So I said, well, next time I'm over there, I'll get them for you. So the next time I was over at Sam's, I saw them. They still had them. I thought they're not going to have them, but they still had them. So I got on the phone to Gary, and I said, Gary, I'm at Sam's, and I want to get you some more of those lights. You want some? He says, well, I'll get them. And I looked, and he's coming down the aisle. Right there at Sam's, right there with Sandy and Shirley. They were coming down there. He says, I'll just get them myself, Pastor Schmidt. So we sat there in fellowship for a while there at Sam's. And then as he was standing there, he just put his hand in my pocket like that and walked away. And they went on their way. And he said, and I said, Gary, what? He says, it'll help you when you check out. And I got up to check out, Sam. Got ready to check out, reached in my pocket, and there was a $100 bill. That was just a month or so ago. That was Gary. That's a man we're honoring today. That's a man my pastor is going to preach about in just a second. He's not going to preach about him. He's going to preach about Jesus. I get to talk about Gary. He gets to preach about Jesus. I took some liberty. I've never done this before. But I found a little statement. And so I put the Walt Curve on it about something that I did. So I'm going to read it right now and just in my closing. I'm not going to take much time with you folks. But I saw this. God saw Gary was getting tired and that a cure was just not to be. So he put his loving arms around him and whispered, you just come with me. But with tearful eyes, she watched him suffer. She saw him turn and fade away. And though we all loved him dearly, we couldn't make him stay. So that golden heart stopped beating. Those hard-working hands were just laid to rest. God broke our hearts to prove to us It was time for God to take home one of his best. I love Gary. He was my friend. But more than that, he loved Jesus. More than that, he loved you, Sandy. More than that, he loved you kids and you grandkids. Don't do him any disrespect. Live for Jesus. Show him what you ought to be for Jesus. Because you're going to see him one day. You all loved him like I love him. So let's make him proud. He's with Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, the longer we live, the more of our friends we see to go on to glory. And some that don't have the realization of your simple salvation. And Lord, I thank you for my dear friend Gary. I thank you, Lord, that right now he can see your nail-scarred hands. He can look up into that lovely face and say thank you. Lord, bless him. You already have. But be with the family. Be with Sandy. Be with the kids. Be with the grandkids. Be with the great-grandkids. Watch over each one. And Lord, bless pastor as he preaches the word. And touch a heart here in this room that needs to know Jesus. And we praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, this is it's one of those times that, honestly, for a preacher, is definitely a mixed emotion. You're greatly honored to be able to preach and make some final statements concerning a life that had such a great effect on people. At the same time, you really don't want to have to do this. You'd rather the Lord just go ahead and let these days not ever happen. Let's just be honest. Be so much better just to laugh and enjoy things. But unfortunately, life would not be life as we understand it without also accepting that death being a part of it is reality. But as much as we are here to mourn the loss of a loved one, and sorrow and mourning are both present, very real, very understandable aspects of such a loss. It is, however, ultimately a gathering time to celebrate the life and homegoing of what, without fail, I can say without any reservation, a faithful servant. And there's really nothing more you can say about somebody who knows Christ as their Savior that would have greater impact and speak ultimately of the finality of a life being successful than to say, faithful servant. Brother Gary is a man who ran his race and ran it well. And he crossed the finish line this past Sunday evening. Our theme for this year wasn't something intended, it just happened to be, has fit a couple of different occasions already within our church. The idea of staying the course, just sticking with what's right, sticking with what's true. And in the end, as Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Gary Hodwalker, without fail, was able to say that. Had the privilege Sunday afternoon to spend some time with him at the hospital. Kind of thought I was going to get a chance to go back and spend a little time, but the Lord knew better. Spent several hours there with the family. By the way, the grace of God was already present in that moment, not just in the atmosphere of the room, but the fact of, regardless of what's going on in the world around us at this moment, I was totally shocked that without hardly any resistance, the hospital allowed Miss Sandra, the girls, and me as the pastor to come up there and be in that room together. There have been many people over the last year and a half or so who unfortunately didn't get to have that privilege. But God's still good. And in talking with Brother Gary, it was no question in his mind. We're all praying, Lord, work a miracle and give that body new life. And he's there praying, Lord, don't listen to him. I'm ready to come home. And he made it very clear. I finished my race. I know I finished. And I'm ready to step across that finish line and receive that trophy of getting to see my Savior face to face. And we know that that's what took place ultimately, because there is no question that Gary Hodwalker knew Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. I'd venture to say the majority of us here, if not all, but again, in this crowd, there's always a possibility that somebody doesn't have that assurance. But I would say most of us, majority of us, probably know for sure that Christ is our Savior. We've accepted Him and Him alone as the answer for our sin problem. And through that, we know that God is our Heavenly Father and heaven. And the presence, by the way, I've mentioned it just recently. 1 week ago, we had a funeral. A lady in our church, and mentioned it then. Heaven's not necessarily about a mansion, golden streets, crowns. A lot of good songs have been written that don't necessarily highlight what heaven's actually about. It's good to think of those things, and God gives us a picture of it because I believe He wants us to understand just how marvelous what He's been preparing now for thousands of years is going to be. But it's not all the glitter and glamour that makes heaven what it is. It's the presence of God for all eternity, never again to ever know what it is to be separated from God and not see Him face to face, to forever have that to never be taken away. Brother Gary got that opportunity, and by the way, he'll never stop knowing what it is to be in the presence of his Savior. It's because of that decision to trust Christ as his Savior that, and those of us that have done the same, we all get the privilege of having, probably has grown into being one of my favorite verses dealing with the assurance of hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19 through 22 says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Our hope in Christ is not to be held in this life only. By the way, we need that hope in this life. But the hope in Christ, if all we had when it comes to hope in Christ is while we live and breathe here on earth, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. You say, that doesn't really make sense. Why would the Bible say that? Because hope in Christ is not just for while I'm breathing on this earth. If y'all notice, this earth ain't much fun. Sin kind of messed everything up. Things hurt. Sorrows hurt. Loss doesn't feel good. But that's only in this life. So why am I not the most miserable person? And why are those that know Christ as their Savior not the most miserable people? Because our hope in Christ goes beyond this life. It goes to all eternity. My hope helps me through this life, and my hope will hold me all the way until I see Him face to face. And it's through all eternity my hope remains in Christ. It is that hope that God gives us that allows us to face, and I talked to Brother Butch about this, and we were texting back and forth. It allows us to face days like today. And by the way, the Bible says we are not to grieve as others which have no hope. You say, so if we're not to grieve, I used to say that means, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't grieve. But actually, I've learned that maybe it's a little bit different than the way I used to say it. I believe ultimately grief is real in lives, but I believe there is an aspect that changes grief to something a little different. Grief is an unbearable sorrow of loss without regain. I mean, just it overly grieving. However, hope is an additive to life that turns grief into simple sorrow. Grief is hopelessness. Sorrow is sadness, but yet hope still reigns. And so though we have sorrow, we have this hope in Christ that allows us to know that death for the child of God is merely the doorway to real eternal life. However, while on this earth and in this earthly life, we are given the task of representing the love of our Savior to the world that's around us. Now, Pastor Schmidt said he was talking about Brother Gary, and I get to talk about Christ, and he was going to do Brother Gary. Well, that's what he gets for thinking. We are going to focus on Christ, but you can't talk about the life and the actions and the love of Gary and Sandy Hogwalker without it being a reflection of Christ. Both Brother Gary and Miss Sandy, in the time frame that I've had the privilege of being their pastor, have exhibited without question an example of what it is to truly represent the love of Christ. Now, not to say that Brother Gary was perfect in any way. Stories could be told. And by the way, they could be told of all of us. Why? Because we all fight this flesh on a daily basis. Paul reminds us that we must die daily in order to win the battle. We die to self. Brother Gary had his issues like anybody else. We're not talking about perfection on this earth, but we are talking about a representation as the child of God is called to represent the Savior. His faithfulness to loving others is a legacy worth leaving behind. And it's kind of similar to what God spoke of concerning Moses. Hebrews 3:5 says, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." There are numerous things. I've already heard stories. I've heard them before now, and I got to hear them some more again in the last few days. But many of you have witnessed and been a part of, possibly even received the blessing of the way that Brother Gary just had a desire of being a blessing to people and helping people. Miss Sandy Schmidt, you got to be careful with that because you say Miss Sandy and everybody's which one? Miss Sandra and Miss Sandy. But I was stuck with other way around. Big Sandy, little Sandy. Yeah, but that goes bad for me if I do that sometimes. I just not everybody interprets that the same way. So I've learned better. But I would say older Sandy and younger Sandy, but that even goes bad sometimes. But we were talking and she was talking about just how her mom and dad were known for having a heart to take in children who needed somebody to love them and raise them with character and how to be a person that can repeat what they've received. That is a legacy worth leaving behind, and that does prove a faithfulness as a servant. No greater thing can we show others than being a servant. Just a couple more things and I'm done. This reflection of Christ reminds also of another verse where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, consistent." I believe Brother Gary, in many ways, was that reflection of faithfulness. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7 says this, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity." Now get this, "his children are blessed after him." It's not always just what we do while we live. It really comes down to what lasts beyond us that is left as a legacy and something to point to and say, you know, I think I want to be a little bit like that right there. I asked the family to do something for me. These are some of the boots that Brother Gary wore. That verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. A man that seeks to please God, a man, again, not talking about perfection, not talking that he didn't make his own mistakes. We know he did, like every one of us do. But a man that seeks to honor God in how he represents Christ, especially in loving others. That also gave the opportunity to give the gospel. He walketh in his integrity. Someone known, not just because he spoke of himself, which by the way, he didn't. Not around me at least. You didn't have to hear him speak it because everybody around you would tell you the stories of what he has done. But he walketh in that integrity, and because of that walk, his children are blessed after him. The shoes that Gary Hodwalker leaves behind, or should I say boots, leaves behind are big ones to fill. I've said this to a few, and I'll say it even now. Many may never realize the full impact that his life made. I'm not saying that what he did didn't make an impact. Oh, it made an impact. But Gary Hodwalker, I have not known him nor heard anyone speak of Gary Hodwalker or Miss Sandy as being a couple that promoted their goodness. I've had more than one occasion the story you told of that in the hand or in the pocket piece of paper. When he said it, I knew instantly it's a $100 bill. I know what it is. More than one occasion, Brother Gary has done that for me as his pastor, and go get something, or better yet, there were a couple of times it was take your wife out to eat, and I better not hear you did anything else with it. He cared. And ultimately, he did what he could to be a help. He lived his life more according to Ephesians 6, verse 6 and 7 than any other way, which is why many people, unless they hear the stories, won't actually know the impact as a whole. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That was Gary Hodwalker, to my knowledge and in my experience. He and Miss Sandy have served together. This year would have been 50 years. Served together, making sure that their lives were a reflection of God's purpose for each and every one of us. I want to encourage the family, especially the younger generation. These boots right here have to have somebody fill them with the same heart, the same desire, and the same motivation of action. It's great to have a heart, great to have a desire, but if it doesn't push us to action, it's a wasted investment inside if it doesn't actually do anything to cause us to work outside. His hands were rough because he did work, and many times he did work helping others. If you got a phone call, you called Brother Gary or Miss Sandy, either one of them, didn't matter what time it was. They might even trip over a few things in the dark trying to get ready, but they were going to get in the car and they were going to try to be there because that's what Christ would do. The life that was lived, that is represented, again, this casket doesn't represent loss of hope. He's living now more than he ever has. But what he did while God gave him breath on this earth lives far beyond the time frame that God gave him on this earth. 1 Peter 4:8-11. Close it out right here. If you know Christ as your Savior, I remind you, this is exactly what Brother Gary and Miss Sandy both live by. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's your starting point. You've got to know the same Savior that Brother Gary knew in order to know how to represent the Savior of all the earth. But 1 Peter 4:8-11 says this, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And here is the ultimate purpose for being that good steward. Fill in some empty shoes that now need somebody to step up and be the next one to live on a legacy of love and representation of Christ. It says this in verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." If there's one thing left behind because of the actions of the life of Gary Hodwalker, it was that God was to be glorified. And others would see that there's a God that loves them through the life of a man that chose to show that love as well. May I encourage each and every one of us, if you know Christ as your Savior, no greater life is there to spend for us. No greater energy can we spend in this life than to be what we were taught by Brother Gary. Someone who would do whatever it takes. If the Lord said help in this way or help in that way, I honestly believe if he had his favorite truck and everything and God said give it away to that missionary right there, it would have been signed over within minutes. Because he would much rather please his Lord and Savior than to have the stuff of this world. And much rather that life of pleasing God help someone else to understand the love of God and the provision of God than to have a whole bunch of stuff to say, look what I got. No greater life to spend than a life showing God's love. That, honestly, for me, is the memory of Gary Hodwalker. And I'm glad to say I can point to a man and to his wife that without reservation reflect their Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you've shown us. I thank you, Lord, that we've had the opportunity to remember the life of a man that made an impact. But at the same time, also reflect on that life. And the only reason he lived that life and was able to make that impact and touch so many other people in this time frame you gave him was because he had a purpose of being able to point people to his Savior. I pray that we, as those which remain, would have the same heart, the same desire, that would lead to the same kind of actions that we've had the opportunity to witness through Brother Gary's life. We do pray that you would again place your grace and love upon the family. during this time and the days to come. Lord, may you prove yourself big and mighty and ever present in time of need. Again, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for what you did for us, that we not only could have hope of eternity with our Savior, but Lord, that we could have purpose on earth to share your love to others. Pray that you go through and with us through the remainder of this service and the things to follow. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise that only you deserve for what you do in our lives and also, Lord, what you do through our lives. In Christ's name, amen.